Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. I've taken inspiration from Willie Mullins at Cheltenham and have formed a star-studded lineup to take you through this week's action. Mark Langdon and Dan Childs join me from The Racing Post Sport Desk, and it's of course Carl Monaghan from our sponsors Paddy Power. Premier League and FA Cup action to get through this week, so let's jump straight into it. Mark, wonderful to have you back on the show. I thought you were sort of too important for these podcasts nowadays.
Never too important for a chat with you, Jack. No, it's good to be back. I listen to it every week, often sort of shouting around, disagreeing with what the guys have said. So, it's good to be back. And, hopefully got a few winners as well.
It's strange how you were avoiding us when Spurs were going through a tough patch. And as soon as, you know, you're back firing, you want to appear again.
Well, no, I mean, look, the North London derby was a bitter pill to swallow, to play that badly for 75 minutes. We've got the Lamella goal, but not much else to take from that.
Brilliant stuff. Of course, EFL guru Dan Childs joins us. Dan, Watford flying high. You must be happy.
Yeah, they're all going pretty well at the moment. I mean, it's still tight up there, but no, they've had only 8 wins in 9, I think, now. So, no, looking good at the moment.
Brilliant stuff. And Carl, I'm sure Cheltenham is on your mind, but lots of good footballing actually to get through this week, isn't there?
There is some good games to look forward to, and Cheltenham certainly on the mind. It's the same with the two gentlemen on the line here, Jack, as well. We've been up early, we've been reading the papers, and we've probably had our first yawn of the morning as well. I've gone through some of those handicaps. But anyway, we're going to have a look at this Friday night match. Fulham-Leeds. Fulham are 6-4, Leeds 7-4. The draw is 23-10 under the Friday night lights.
Yeah, let's get your opinion straight away on it, Carl. I mean, you know, we've spoken about Fulham quite a lot in recent weeks, and a real opportunity for them at home under the lights to make a statement here.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it as well. 6-4, and I dug up a nice little start here. Leeds are winless in their last 16 away games against London sides in all comps since a 3-1 win at QPR back in December 2017. So that was good enough for me, and I was going to back Fulham anyway at 6-4. I just fancy them. I'm just not like Leeds were good against Chelsea, created a lot of chances, but I just think Leeds struggle against well-drilled, organised sides, and Fulham have looked that in recent weeks.
Definitely. Mark, let's get your thoughts on Leeds. I mean, they've played some scintillating football at times, and Fulham have struggled for parts this season, but have got things going in recent months.
Yeah, it feels like they're sort of two teams heading maybe in different directions, you know, despite Fulham being in a relegation battle. I think if, you know, the season would have started with the squad they've got now, I don't think they'd be anywhere near the bottom three. Leeds probably is just a little dip for them. I mean, it was still a really good point against Chelsea, wasn't it, last week? And for a newly promoted team to be, you know, just in the top half of the bottom half, if you like, it's still a good achievement. It's almost because the buzz of, you know, Bielsa and Leeds are, you know, a real giant in English football, that kind of maybe people are now judging them as if they're, you know, not a newly promoted team. And I still think that they've done really well this campaign. Like I say, I think from Scott Parker's point of view, he would have just wished that the season was able to start when he had his full team available, because they look nothing like relegation candidates. Now, in terms of a bet for this game, I've gone under 2.5 goals. It sort of feels like a bit of a banker, but that brings me on to the fact that the draw could be a big price. You know, 16 of Fulham's last 19 have been unders, and Leeds have failed to score in 4 of their last 5. So I'm not expecting a high-scoring game, and that, you know, the fewer goals there are in a game, the more likely it is to be a draw. So I thought the draw was the best of the sort of match outcomes.
Okay, great stuff, Mark. Yes, it's a strange one, Dan, isn't it? Because it felt like in the start of the season we were talking about just goals flying in all directions when Leeds were featuring, and now the last couple of weeks, Mark's tipped up on the unders there, and we've had that tip in quite a few Leeds games in recent weeks.
Yeah, and with Fulham as well. Fulham started the season shipping a lot of goals, didn't they? And you know, and that all, you know, since then, they've tightened up, and all of a sudden they don't concede many. And you go back to the reverse fixture, actually, it was near the start of the season, gives you an example of both teams. I think Leeds won it 4-3, didn't they, Ellen Road, which was, you know, an incredible game. But since then, Fulham have really, you know, tightened up. I know they lost 3-0 to Manchester City in their last game, but that's the first time they've actually conceded more than two goals in a Premier League game since November, which is, you know, shows you how much they've tightened up. And even in that game, they were hard to break down, weren't they, until that sort of three-goal blitz in the second half from Man City, I think, in 15 minutes. But I think Fulham's improvement at the back may lead to a Fulham win here. I fancy them to get the points. I think they'll be delighted to come through those. They had three games in a row, didn't they, against Big Six teams, against Spurs, Liverpool and Manchester City. To get through those three games and be only 2 points from safety, I think that's, Scott Parker will be really happy with that. I think Leeds, I mean, over the course of the season, have scored a lot and conceded a lot. It's a little bit different, as you say, recently. They've scored no goal in their last three games. I think Camford went off injured, didn't he, as well, in the last game. So there's a bit of a worry about whether he's going to be fit, you know, key player for them. They have conceded 29 goals away, Leeds, which is the second highest in the division. So, again, that's another reason why I'll be sweet on Fulham here.
Well, that would have been interesting start to the show for all of our Fulham listeners out there. Let's move on to the next game, then, and another big one down in the bottom of the table. Brighton hosting Newcastle. This is an 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, live on Sky Sports. Carl, big game this.
Yeah, big game this, and I don't really give Newcastle as much credit as they probably deserve with their results in the past 6 weeks. But Brighton are 8-13, Jack. Newcastle 5-1. The draw is 5-2. We know about Newcastle's attacking injuries, and Brighton impressed me against Southampton as well. I made sure and sat down and watched it. They had 6 shots on target. They got 2 goals for their troubles. We obviously know Brighton for creating chances and getting nothing at the end of the day, but that has turned with the Southampton win. That's a confident boosting win. And I like them at 8-13. Obviously, they're dreadful at home. Their record is absolutely dreadful in the league in terms of winning matches. But I just fancy them to sneak this a 1-0. I like Brighton to win at an under 2.5 goals, around 2-1, that double.
Okay, Mark, it's amazing, isn't it? Brighton can be going off as short as 8-13 for a team that have won, you know, one in their last 5.
It is, yeah. And, you know, they're very close to each other in the table, aren't they? It's a massive game at the bottom. I do think that Brighton are quite a bit better than Newcastle. And I'd maybe be looking to oppose Brighton if Newcastle had that front three available, but just not sure where the goals are going to come from. So, I mean, I was looking at Brighton. I'm not going to be quite as bold as what Cole was there. I'm going to go Brighton and under 3.5 goals, which for all of Brighton's wins this season, there have been under 3.5 goals. They're a team that tend to win by the narrowest of margins when they do, apart from when they played Newcastle up at St James's and battered them 3-0. But I think that Brighton are the better coach team. I think they're the better team. They are a team I think that's in sort of brighter spirits, and I expect them to win the game. I wouldn't be smashing into the 8-13, but yeah, maybe Brighton to win in under 3.5 goals.
Goals have been the problem for Newcastle, Dan, haven't they? 2 goals in their last 3, both of them goals from Lascelles. They need to get their attacking players on the score sheet soon.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any sign of Almiron or Alan Saint-Maximin or Callum Wilson being available until after the international break. That's a major issue for them. They haven't scored, actually, in 8 of their last 10 away games, which is a real worry going into this fixture. However, 8-13 Brighton for a team that's won one Premier League home game all season. Newcastle have drawn their last 3 games as well, despite those injuries mounting up. But I'm not going to suggest, you know, getting with Newcastle, but I do think it'll be quite a tight match. I think Brighton to win by 1 goal could be the way to go here. It's a 9-4 the price. Brighton's last 6 victories have all been by a single goal. I don't think if it's late on and they're a goal up, say midway through the second half in a key game. I mean, you've got to remember Brighton are still quite close to that relegation picture, despite the win at Southampton. I don't think they're going to be throwing caution to the wind. So Brighton will win by 1 goal for me.
Yeah, nice puzzle to try and find some value there. You never quite know at this stage in the season, especially when teams are struggling down in the bottom of the table. Let's move into Sunday's games then. Two Premier League games to cover. It starts at 3 p.m. between West Ham and Arsenal. Arsenal buoyant after their North London derby win, Carl. And what are the prices for this?
West Ham are 7-4, Jack. Arsenal 29-20, and the draw is 12-5.
Of course, Mark, we've got some European football this week, haven't we? Arsenal featuring in the Europa League on Thursday night. Will that be something to factor in here?
I think it is something to factor, although I would say that, you know, they did the hard work in the first leg. So, I mean, I know Arsenal have got ways of throwing away sort of winning positions, and this may not age too well. But as we speak now, you would imagine that it's not going to be the most difficult of European away games. They're at home. You know, they've got a nice advantage. They're playing sort of probably their best stuff of the season. Always tend to think that you feel more tired when you're not winning games. It's sort of funny how that happens, isn't it? They look like a team at the moment that, you know, doesn't really want the season to end, and are playing some of their best stuff, you know, certainly since Christmas, when it looked like Arteta might get the sack. Since then, they've only lost three games since Christmas in the Premier League. And I think if you have a look at that, they were really unlucky against Wolves. I mean, you know, the sending off completely changed the game there. They lost by one goal to Man City. Only real bad performance came against Aston Villa. So I definitely think they're on the up, Arsenal.
Where will your money be going here, Carl?
I agree with everything Mark just said there. To be fair, I'm just siding with West Ham here. I went to bed last night and they were 9-5. They were 7-4 when I woke up. They've won their last three at home. They scored seven. I think it's about attacking intent in the final third. I think we'll see a lot more of that from West Ham. The David Moyes shackles were on his team at Old Trafford last week, and they deserved to lose. They had shown a bit more ambition. They might have got something more from the game. I think they will show a little bit more ambition here, but Arsenal are scoring goals for fun. And like Mark said, it looked like a team that are certainly enjoying themselves. That leads me to think both teams to score. So I'm just going to side with West Ham and both teams to score at a big price of 4-1. And that's what attracts me.
Dan, I've asked you this before. I'll ask you again. Can West Ham get in the top four this season?
No, not for me. I just think to keep up the way they've been going is going to be very difficult. A lot of, big clubs around them up there. You know, Chelsea occupying that fourth place at the moment. I think the game at Manchester United was a disappointment for me. They've lost the game, you know, narrowly 1-0, fair enough, but didn't manage a shot on target. And Moyes went with quite a fairly negative team selection as well, just looking to sit in really and try and take a point. I think they'll probably, you know, sit fairly deep in this game as well and look to counter-attack. They've done it effectively at times, but I think Arsenal, they showed against Spurs, Spurs were sitting quite deep in that game, but Arsenal still opened Spurs up time and time again, especially in the first half. I thought Odegaard and Smith Rowe were absolutely superb. Odegaard has given them another dimension. You know, he looks an outstanding talent to me, and I think they'll pick a few, you know, holes in that West Ham defence, and I think Arsenal would be the bet here for me. I think they're, you know, running out of games a little bit, but who knows? Maybe they can finish in the top six.
Okay. Yeah, it's another interesting one to try and call that early game on the Sunday. One more Premier League clash on the Sunday then. It comes at 7:30 between Aston Villa and Spurs. Mark, let's start with you in this one. A disappointing display against Arsenal, despite that wonderful goal. Villa, probably slightly easier opponents. Are you confident here?
I mean, I think a lot will depend, first of all, the big fitness concerns, aren't there? I mean, Jose Mourinho has not ruled Son out of the game against Aston Villa, and Jack Grealish has been pictured in training this week. So how fit he is, I don't know. I mean, you'd say probably Crystal Palace are probably the biggest one-man team in the Premier League with Zaha, but Aston Villa wouldn't be far behind with Grealish. And this game, I think, a lot will depend on sort of team news for that. I think Spurs are probably a little bit vulnerable if Grealish plays. But if he does play, is he fully fit? You know, a lot of question marks there. The one bet I did like was for both teams to score purely on the basis that Tottenham are not very good defensively, and it doesn't matter how defensively they try to set up, doesn't seem to stop them from conceding goals, particularly away from home. One clean sheet in 9 Premier League away matches. And you know, even when they're dominating games at home, like they did against Crystal Palace, they still manage to concede. I'm looking at sort of the clean sheets they've had in recent games. It was against Fulham, which was, I think, more it was more luck really than judgment that they managed to keep a clean sheet in that game. West Brom offered very little. Burnley were missing both of their centre forwards, which, you know, completely derails them. So both teams to score looked like a pretty solid bet to me.
Okay, Carl, show the prices for this one and then let's get your tip, please.
Yeah, Villa are 2-1. Spurs are 5-4. The draw is 12-5. I like everything that Mark said there. Villa and the draw is what jumped off the page. I just think they can get something. And I think it was a tough week for Spurs just with the derby. And then they've gone to Zagreb in the Europa League. And Villa to get something. Obviously, I'm going to go with the line of thinking that maybe Grealish will play. He'll boost them hugely. And Villa and the draw, I think they can get something from the game, definitely, because they've had their feet up, Jack, since last Friday, Villa. So they'll be fresh. So 4-7, Villa and the draw, double chances. I like.
Dan, when sides have kind of, you know, not extended breaks, but, you know, a week plus off, do you take that as a positive that the squad will be fully rested and you know, fresh legs? Or do you see it as maybe they've fallen out of the groove slightly?
Yeah, it can work both ways, can't it? I mean, I'd rather just go back to their, you know, their recent performances. And as Mark's mentioned, really, without Grealish, They've been struggling. And I know Grealish has been in training, and there was a suggestion from Dean Smith, you know, when he said that he didn't make the Newcastle game, that he expected him to make the Spurs game. But how fit is he going to be? I think he missed 5 games now. That's asking a lot for him to come back and be right bang at his best, you know, straight away. I think Spurs, you've got to remember, I mean, there was a very disappointing defeat in the derby, but they have been on a really good run, you know, before then. And I'll give Arsenal, you know, I'll say a bit of credit for the derby. I think that, you know, they played some excellent football. I mean, Spurs in this game, if they're going to make the top four, to me, this is a bit do or die, really. If they don't win this game, I think the gap's going to be getting too big. I think it's going to be a last push from Spurs to try and get in there. Heung-min Son, we don't know whether he's going to play. But what I would say is I think Spurs rely a lot less on Son, you know, being fit than Villa are going to be relying on Grealish. You can still see, you know, the likes of Harry Kane, Gareth Bale, Lucas Moura, you know, maybe, you know, causing some damage. Whereas Villa have got Ollie Watkins, but again, he relies a lot on that supply line that Grealish gives him. So Spurs, I think, have got the greater depth in attack, and for that reason, I'd go with Spurs.
Yeah, just 4 Premier League games this week, as I say. So let's take a look at some FA Cup action after this short break.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Jack Reeve, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Carl Monaghan taking you through this week's footballing docket. Let's get to the FA Cup quarterfinals then. It starts at 12:15 on Saturday, Bournemouth against Southampton. Carl, Bournemouth, I don't think there's been too many teams with a worse drop-off in the last couple of months. They've looked really poor. Southampton, the away side here. What are the prices and what's your selection?
Yeah, so Bournemouth are 27-10, Southampton are evens, and the draw is 23-10. Now, I'm not bold enough to back Bournemouth here, even though they were good the other night against Swansea, but Chad Adams is 3 in his last 3. He's 9-2 to score the first goal, and a couple of those goals were really, really good from Chad Adams. So him in the first goal scorer market is my selection here, certainly in this one.
Okay, yeah, Bournemouth, Southampton, Mark, not the highlight of the FA Cup action this week, but can you find any value here?
I mean, I'm not one of them, but I think there's quite a few people holding some tasty prices on Southampton each way for the FA Cup. Because if you remember back to when sort of the third round started and people were focusing their attention on the FA Cup outright market. Southampton were doing really well at that time, and were a lot of people, I think, in the betting community had them, you know, each way as sort of, you know, the good things really of the dark horses for the FA Cup. So it's a big game for them. I mean, obviously Southampton are now playing, you know, stinking the place out with their performances. I still felt though, actually, that evens was a fair enough price. They are a Premier League team. I think they're better than their league position. There've obviously been reasons for their drop off and a lot of injuries. Also, you look at the two games in the FA Cup where Hasenhüttl focused massively on progression in the cup competition. They then played Arsenal a couple of days later, who rested everybody and then beat them in the Premier League. And the same thing happened against Wolves, again, who didn't take the FA Cup seriously and then had fresher legs for the Premier League game, which I think has been part of their demise, really, that they've focused on the FA Cup. Southampton don't think they'll be relegated. Think, you know, that they've got enough of a buffer already. And then I looked at Bournemouth's injuries. Stanislas, Kelly, Smith, Lewis Cook, Brooks are all out. Shane Long can't play, and Lerman suspended. So I that's quite a lot out of the Bournemouth team. Yeah, exactly. So even that 3-0 against Swansea, three shots on target, and I think that defeat had been coming for Swansea, who'd been getting away with it sort of week after week for quite some time. So I felt that Southampton were fair enough as the Premier League team at evens to win this game.
Dan, this is a really sort of pivotal few weeks for Bournemouth in their season, isn't it? Because you would have had them as a shoe-in for the playoffs, if not automatics, a couple of months ago. They've dropped out of the playoffs now. They're 2 points behind Reading in the Championship table, who occupy sixth. Where will their, you know, this game be in their priority list?
I think normally, if you didn't have an international break coming up, I think they would be saying, right, well, we might as well rest some players. Because you've got the international break coming up, there's no Championship game to come after it for a while. So for that reason, I think they'll go as strong as they can, you know, with the players that they buy up. And they have actually got quite a decent squad, Bournemouth. I mean, the midfield, you can still got the likes of Jack Wilshere, who played very well, by the way, against Swansea. Best game I think he's played since he joined them. Phil Billing as well in there, who can be very good on his day, scored a superb goal against Swansea. So there's some quality still in there, and you can see where I'm going with this. I'm actually going to tip Bournemouth to spring a surprise. I've got Arno Danjuma as well up front, who I think is their best attacking player. Got four goals in his last five games, full of confidence. They have won away at Burnley as well already in the FA Cup fifth round. So they've shown in the Championship as well that they can raise it for the big games. They've beat the likes of Watford, beat Norwich and Southampton. I think just the confidence, the lack of the confidence, 9 defeats in 12 now overall. I think that's going to be an issue for them. I think Danny Ings as well is still going to be unavailable. I think it's a real good chance for Bournemouth to spring a surprise.
Some love for the out-of-form Championship side there. Let's move on to the second game in the FA Cup on the Saturday. Everton against Manchester City. Dan, we'll stay with you for this. Manchester City absolutely flying.
They're flying. And I do think that they're going to actually be quite focused on this game as well. I think they're going to be looking at the quad as something that's certainly achievable. A game away to Everton, they would think it's, you know, a little bit of a banana skin, it looked like when the draw came out. But, you know, since then, I mean, Everton's, you know, recent performances have been dreadful. I mean, that 2-1 loss to Burnley, I mean, they never really looked like getting back into the game, looked shaky at the back. I think the midfield, the loss of Poirier has affected them, you know, more than, you know, maybe anybody would have expected. His lack of his drive in there sounds like he might be out for the rest of the season. So that, I think that's going to affect them in this game, you know, and in their sort of top four push. I think Man City, they've got nearly everybody fit, don't they, in the squad at the moment. I mean, he's got so many options, Pep Guardiola, but I think he'll go really strong here again, last game before the international break. I think they'll win comfortably. How do you back them? I mean, 2-7 to win the game. I'm going to say they're going to take charge, you know, in the early part of the game. So Man City, double result.
That's the thing, isn't it, Mark? Even if Pep has to rotate, you know, the strength of the substitutes bench is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what a shame if he has to start Sergio Aguero or Gabriel Jesus or, you know, Bernardo Silva or Phil Foden in one of the sort of midfield or wide positions. Mahrez, Sterling, you know, Ferran Torres barely gets a mention, would walk into most Premier League teams. Yeah, I mean, you know, as Pep said himself, spent a lot of money, you know, got £100 million worth of fullbacks on the bench in Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy. So, you know, Laporte would get into what just about every other Premier League team, probably not in City's strongest 11 this season. Fernandinho or Rodri in the sort of midfield anchor role. It's a squad of just quality everywhere, and they're playing so well at the moment. I mean, the only way I could have seen them maybe slipping up is if, you know, we were back to having crowds inside the stadium. Goodison could be hostile on, you know, Saturday night, big FA Cup quarter final. Maybe the crowd sort of pick Everton up. But I agree with Dan. I think half-time, full-time, double results, the way to go. They dominated Everton in the league game recently at Goodison. 70-odd percent possession, 7 shots on target. And Everton, these performances have been coming. If you look at sort of the underlying sort of data, they're bottom half on sort of expected goals. So I'm not that amazed at some of their sort of results in recent weeks. I think they've been getting away with it a bit before that, really. So, you know, City, I think, should be more than good enough to get this job done nice and early.
Where's the value, Carl?
Ooh, so Everton 17-2, Man City 2-7, the draw is 4-1. I think Man City at 11-10 to win the FA Cup is more a bet I'd be looking at. But no, I went with City to win and both teams to score on the back of the... It was 1-1 at halftime when they met in the league in February, and City just outclassed them over the 90 minutes to win it 3-1. I see something similar. Obviously, we've spoken about the rotation. Sterling, Jesus, Laporte, they'll all come back in. And the Goodison Park... form of Everton, especially because it's been empty. They've lost 7 times in the Premier League at Goodison Park so far this season. They've looked dreadful there, as Dan said, and I just couldn't be having them. But yeah, both teams to score and City to win, just like the league game. I see it working out quite similarly.
Let's stay with you, Carl, for the next game. It's Sunday, the first of two encounters. This one on BBC Sport. Chelsea against Sheffield United, and the sacking of Frank Lampard looks to be the right decision at the moment.
Absolutely. And, of course, the biggest test of Tuchel's managerial career was getting past Diego Simeone's tricky Atletico Madrid. And last night, at first, Tuchel had kind of grabbed my curiosity. He has my attention now, though, after that result last night. Kante looked back to his best as well. Even the German lads, Werner and Havertz, looked like they can play again. No, it's really impressive, Jack. They're 1-5. Against Sheffield United here. Sheffield United 11-1. The draw is 9-2. And I don't know how I'm going to play this one. I really liked the look out of Ziyech last night. I thought he was brilliant. He scored the goal, the opener. And him to score any time is 9-5. And I just think he might come into a bit of form now in the next few weeks.
Potential banana skin this for Chelsea, Mark. I mean, Sheffield United are gone in the Premier League, aren't they? So they might as well throw everything at this.
I'm sure they will throw everything at it. I mean, I would be really surprised if they, you know, you said banana skin. I mean, it's like playing a championship team at home, isn't it? So it shouldn't be an issue for them at all. I hope not. I tipped Chelsea to win the FA Cup before they, just after they beat Spurs in the Racing Post. They were 7-1 then. And I think you could tell that Tuchel was just, you know, had it right. And defensively, it's not just the fact that they haven't conceded a home goal since he went there. But if you have a look at the sort of the expected goals against numbers, I mean, they're just giving up just nothing at the moment. Unbelievably, the team that's had the best expected goals against them since Tuchel arrived was Newcastle. And that was because the game was done and dusted. And even then, it was only sort of 0.7. Haven't conceded more than half a goal in expected goals since then. And you consider they've played Manchester United, they've played Liverpool in that time. I mean, completely controlled Atletico, home and away. You know, Leeds can be a little bit awkward. You know, barely gave up an opportunity against them. So the way, I mean, at some stage they will concede because that's just the way football is. But I'm not sure it'll be in this game. I just thought Chelsea to win to nil was just felt a little bit too obvious. That's probably the biggest concern, Jack.
3 votes for Chelsea, Dan.
Yeah, and a second vote for Chelsea to win to nil as well. It might look obvious, but I just can't see past it, really. Sheffield United, what I've sort of taken from their 5-0 defeat at Leicester and the manner of it was that Chris Wilder has actually been probably getting more out of that group than maybe, people would realise that, at least they've lost a lot of games this season, but in vast majority of those matches, they've been competitive. They've not been, a complete pushover in games, whereas the game at Leicester, just all the drive and the heart just seem to have gone out of the team. I think they can't wait now for the season to end. I know this is an FA Cup quarterfinal, so it's not a difficult game to get up for, but they're just such a lack of quality, in the side for me. I think Chelsea, I mean, I know they've not scored more than two goals. That's the incredible stat, isn't it, under Thomas Tuchel after 13 games. I think that could well change here. It could be more than two Chelsea goals for the first time under the German, but I certainly can't see Sheffield United scoring. So Chelsea wins 2-0 for me.
Yeah, it's been a recruitment for Sheffield United, hasn't it? I mean, a combined 40 million on Rian Brewster and Aaron Ramsdale is never going to be too good when they're not performing. Let's move on to the final FA Cup game that we'll be previewing, and it's Leicester City against Manchester United. Carla, a shout out for your tip last week. You tipped up Iheanacho to score, didn't you? And he certainly did that. Will he be bagging more this weekend?
Yeah, well, that actually leads into one of my selections here as well. I think he got a hat-trick last week. They'll be keeping a very close eye on him. I think that'll play into the hands of Vardy, actually, in getting a bit of space. And, of course, Vardy's pace will trouble the two centre-backs of Manchester United. I think Vardy, anytime 6-5, he's due a goal, Jack. He's no goals in 7. And he was the creator with a couple of nice assists against Sheffield United. So he's playing well. I like him at 6-5. I do fancy both teams to score in this match as well at 4-7. They drew 2-2 in the league, and that was around Christmas time. I had my Santa Claus hat on watching that one. It was sometime around Christmas time, 2-2. So I could see maybe something similar. Man United to qualify 8-11 for the last four of the FA Cup as well. That appealed too.
Mark, you said that you tipped up Chelsea at sevens in the Racing Post a little while back. Out of the two teams here, who would you fear the most?
Manchester United, I think, primarily because they did okay, I thought, at Stamford Bridge a couple of weeks ago, and another referee could well have given that penalty, and then maybe the game does change, doesn't it? And Chelsea didn't create much against United. I know Leicester beat Chelsea, but that was sort of the end of Frank Lampard, wasn't it? That was an awful performance from Chelsea. I think that was the one where they knew they had to make that change. So I fear Manchester United more. And I also think that Manchester United will win this game. I prefer it if they didn't have the Thursday trip to Milan. And they'll have to put a lot in because, the tie is delicately poised. But they are so good away from home, Manchester United. They're on an incredible run. Even with the win against City and, they went to Liverpool, didn't they? That was a while ago. And people were a little bit disappointed that they only drew that game against Liverpool. They're getting some key men back. I saw Pogba return to training with a smile on his face. So won't be long for him to return. Also thought that they were the better team when these two sides met in a league game that finished 2-2. United had a lot of chances to put that game to bed and slipped up late on. I think they're playing better now, and I think they're well suited to sort of deal with what Leicester have got and then hit them on the break. Not a strong fancy, but United to win.
Where's your money going, Dan?
I'm going to go with Leicester, actually. I just think that the timing of this fixture for Leicester, it really, really puts it in their favour. I think that the balance of that Europa League tie for Manchester United, going to Milan, with it so, finally poised, I think they're going to have to put a big effort in there. I mean, it was not completely impossible. It could even, go to extra time, but I'm not relying on that. Just the fact they've got to play a tough game on the Thursday. The fact that, as well, Martial and Cavani haven't travelled. I mean, surely if they were fit, they would have travelled, for such a big match. How fit are they going to be on the weekend? I think Leicester, although that Sheffield United victory was against a really poor side, any team, if you win a game 5-0, it is going to give you a spring in your step. They've had a fantastic season, Leicester. Nice 3 weeks to prepare because of, they were knocked out by Slavia Prague in the Europa. And this is now their last chance of winning a trophy. So I think they're going to be hungry. for this game. I think they'll be fresher than United, and I would just side with them in the game.
Okay, yeah, some brilliant FA Cup action to look forward to this weekend, and of course the Premier League fixtures that we previewed earlier. Let's have a look at some other divisions there, and this is an opportunity for our panel to get any other fancies that they may have. Carl, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so two in the Championship that I'm going to be throwing into my ACCA this weekend. Watford to beat Birmingham. I liked it at 1-2. They're in good form and beat an informed Cardiff last weekend. And Norwich, your beloved Norwich, Jack, to beat Blackburn. I like it 8-15. The doubles are in 13-10. And that will go in to my ACCA at the weekend. Certainly those two.
Yeah, some we're getting to the sort of the business end of the EFL, aren't we? And yeah, Watford absolutely flying. Dan, any other fancies?
Yeah, down in League One, I fancy Wigan, relegation threatened Wigan to win at Accrington at 12-5. I think, I mean, it's been an awful sort of 8 months, hasn't it, for Wigan with, you know, the situation, you know, with them being relegated and the takeover taking so long to bear fruit. That now seems to be going through. So, you know, it's a real boost for them. And on the pitch as well as off it, there's been some good news recently. They've picked up 7 points from their last from the last three games. That's got them just out of the relegation zone in League One. And Accrington are kind of going the other way now. They've been chasing a playoff place for much of the season, but they've only won one of their last eight games. Lost 2-0 at home to Sunderland on the Wednesday. So you've got not very long to recover from that. That's now one win in the last eight for John Coleman, and the injuries are really piling up as well. I think Wigan can go there and win.
It's a shame for Accrington, isn't it, Dan? Because they were doing so well. You know, everyone knows they've got a thin squad, but there was a real kind of optimism about that they might sneak in the playoffs earlier in the season.
There was. There's just been the key players that they're missing. Colby Bishop, one of them. Him and Deon Charles, the two strikers, have been, you know, their partnership has been key for them. Deon Charles came back. You know, he seems to be, you know, playing a bit through the pain barrier, but they've got too many players, I think, out. And the fatigue, I think, with a small squad and the game's coming thick and fast, it's starting to show.
Yeah, well worth looking at the League One table if you haven't. 7 points separate 6th place Charlton to 14th place MK Dons. Absolutely brilliant. Mark, fancies from you?
Well, in League One, not many, but in League One, I thought Fleetwood were fair enough to beat Swindon. Swindon on a horrible run at the moment. Fleetwood kept 4 straight clean sheets. It's just feels a bit odd, really, at Swindon at the moment. Sheridan made a quintuple substitution in the game at Gillingham because he wanted to make the team stronger defensively. He lost 3-1. And he said he's considering his future after that game. And he also came up with a brilliant quote when he was talking about the lack of leaders in the dressing room. And he says, if I have something to say, I'll say it to the player's face. I don't like digging people out in the press. He then went on to say about skipper Dion Conroy in the press. He needs to be more of a leader. He has the captaincy. He had it before I came in. He needs to be more of a leader. So I think he is digging him out, and I think he is digging him out in the press. And it doesn't feel right at Swindon at the moment. And I'm quite pleased for Simon Grayson. We worked with him in the summer, and he said he was looking for a job in League One, and he seems to have turned it around. It looks like Callum Camps, the top scorer for Fleetwood, will be available after he missed that game against Ipswich, which they won 2-0.
Was it also Sheridan who came out the other week and said to the press that it's worth noting that he's not the man on the pitch?
He did. Yeah, the classic Jose Mourinho. He must have read all of Mourinho's books, I think.
I think we should have more of that, managers reminding us that they're not the ones playing, just in case we forget.
Yeah, he's an odd character. He seems to do really well at some places and really badly at others. And it seems to work in short spells. And when he gets on a bad run, he does seem to struggle to turn it around.
Yeah, you can tell it's lockdown. I've been reading up Swindon, you know, press conferences. There we go. Right, time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, lots of selections so far on today's show. Let's narrow them down to the one strongest selection from each of our panel. It will be enhanced as a treble on the Paddy Power website. Carl, you can start it.
I'm going to start the ball rolling with Man United to qualify against Leicester in the FA Cup for the last four. It's a 4-5 shot, Jack, and I need an app to come in for me this week. So that's what I've picked.
Manchester United, yeah?
Manchester United to qualify, yeah, 4-5, because I think they might need extra time to get past them.
Okay, absolutely brilliant. Mark?
I'm going to go for Chelsea -1 against Sheffield United. That 5-0 defeat against Leicester looked like a team that had completely given up. And, I don't think that they're going to improve in the short term without Chris Wilder.
And Dan?
I'm going to go for Harrogate, a shade of odds against at home to Morecambe in League Two. Still got an outside chance at the playoffs, Harrogate. They're 8 points off of seventh place. Well, Morecambe are in seventh place at the moment. So if they win this game, they do go to within 5 points of the top seven. But they've won the last four games at home without conceding, Harrogate, under Simon Weaver. Morecambe, on the other hand, they've lost a bit of... bit of spark since Burnley loanee Adam Phillips, he switched to Accrington in the January transfer window. That's sort of affected them going forward. At the back, they're without influential central defender Sam Lavelle, who's suspended. So I think that could affect them against Harrogate, who do get a lot of balls into the penalty area. You've got Mark Beck there, a big target man striker up front. It'll cause them a lot of problems.
Okay, so we've got Manchester United to qualify against Leicester City in the FA Cup, Chelsea -1 against Sheffield United in the FA Cup, and Dan's is Harrogate to beat Morecambe. There we go. The Knapp treble, that will be up on the Paddy Power website if you fancy backing that. A big thank you to Mark, Dan and Carl for all of their insight this week. If you are having a bet on the football or Cheltenham this week, please remember to gamble responsibly and only bet what you can afford to lose. We'll see you again next week for another football podcast. Stay safe. Bye-bye.